Today is a gift, a fresh opportunity to change your life with God's Word. A day to take responsibility and overcome challenges. A day to take on the world with a different mindset. Welcome to Firm Foundation.
Come on, let's put our hands together, give Him praise. Go ahead, lift up your voice, lift up your hands, lift up everything. Give Him a shout to the Lord. Bless Him, bless Him, bless Him. Give Him praise in the house. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What a wonderful testimony this morning. Somebody in the ICU and God brought him out. There is no impossibility in God. There's no impossibility in God. None. We heard a testimony of a doctor here. No pain whatsoever before. And long and short, they had to go in when she said they should not operate on her. And discovered that she had ruptured her appendix 4 days before. And nothing. There was a word that said, "You will not die. God will help you. God will help you. God will help you." Our online prayer meeting, 12 a.m., that was a prophetic word of 40 days. I'm sure today is the 11th. And one time, a doctor again said, "I had pain in my left breast," and I examined it and said, "I don't need this pain." After the prayer was over, before the prayer was over, the pain was gone. Another one shared a testimony. One of the days I took the prayer meeting and just said that you will be recognized. And the next day, she prayed it over her husband. The next day, the husband came with a letter. And the first paragraph says, "You have been recognized." The promises of God are yes and amen. This is a year of deep intercession. It's a year where you pray now, you want to pray more. It's a year where there are different avenues that have been... We have been doing open heavens prayer, but I know that this is a year of divinity and humanity connecting. It's a year of silence, but a year of deep intercession. So create your own. We have different avenues to pray, and there will be more. There will be more. I told you many years ago that we'll have a 24-hour prayer house. Who was here? And we started with 1 to 2 hours before. Now we have gone to 6. We are doing 12 hours this thing. I'm sure they did 24 hours in there. So jump in. Say men ought to pray and not give up. Pray without ceasing. We can only pray without ceasing when I'm connected with you. You take your 1 hour, I take my 1 hour. Can you not tarry with me just for 1 hour? Just for 1 hour. Can you not tarry me? Out of 20, take your own 1 hour. If we are 24 or 48, all of us will be taking one hour. Is it not easy? It's easy. So when you say 24 hours, the way you say, 24 hours, no. Just take your own. Stand your watch. Man your own gate. So that we have continuous watch. And I know that we will get there. Thank God for virtual now. He won't say you are sleeping. Our online radio is 24 hours. We have not even tapped into that. It's 24 hours. Amen, amen. Blessings and glory. Our online Zoom has a total of 500 people. Glory and honor. You will pray this year, I'm telling you. Please greet yourself and be seated. And please help me appreciate this wonderful music team. God bless you. Thank you so much. Please be seated. Thank you so much. God bless you. My wife is all in the way in worry. I didn't say that in the first service. She's been ministering there since on Friday. She'll be through this morning. I don't know whether they will still tell her to wait behind, but please, they should release my wife for me. Like I always tell her, you are the fruit of my labor. Amen. That's the only thing I took out from banking. Praise the Lord. At least God, thank you for compensating me. Amen. Amen. We're still on our series, We Are Family. We are family. And some people took it further. Thank you so much. We are still family. We are still family. You can't help, once you come to this place and we are not laughing, please escape for your life. We have been kidnapped. We are showing you a sign to tell us that we have been kidnapped. Amen. And let us know that you can't do this kingdom life without joy. You can't. You'll be frustrated. There's one lie I believed before. God will not give you more than you can bear. How many of you believe that? I shouldn't have said it's a lie, because some of you will say, there's one thing I used to believe. God will not give you more than you can bear. Excuse me. And I looked at the life of Jesus, and Jesus said, take this cup away from me. And God said, no. Will he give you something you can bear? You cannot be. He will give you things you can't bear. Why? He gave you the Holy Spirit. You can't live this life alone. The reason why people backslide is that they believe the lie that God cannot give you what you can bear. What you cannot bear. Plenty. I can't even bear being a pastor. Ah. You yourself know that it's difficult to pastor you. But every day, I need your help. Today, believe this truth. God will give you more than you can bear. And he said, I will not leave you. I will come to you. I will help you. He gave you the Holy Spirit. The reason why when things come, you cannot bear it, because you don't call for help. Imagine you have not been married before they say you should go and marry a difficult person. Uzziah was told to go and marry Gomer. Some of you, if you read that story, you won't even like... There are many of you that have assignment today. You cannot bear it. The assignment is too tough for you. This is what will make you pray without ceasing. You need his help. If he gives you something you can bear, you can do ministry, you can do life without God. Because it's not dependent on your power. Lift up your hands and say, I need your help. I need your help. I need your help. I need your help every day. Last week we did something. Let's read Luke chapter 10, verse 1 to 11. It says, after this thing, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way, behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither muddy bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the way. For whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house, whatever city you enter, and they receive you. Eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick. There, say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into a street and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us will wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. The kingdom of God has come near you. Today I want to talk about restoring your royal assignment. The day you gave your life to Christ, last week we talked about restoring your royal identity. It's all about Jesus coming to press, not only reset, but to restore us. And the kingdom thing, the kingdom value about restoration is not to back to where you came from. No, it's to back to a higher version. That's why I say you are a new creation. A new creation means that what the earth has never seen before. What is the earth has never seen before? So Jesus came to restore to us our right identity. And God will not resource your problem. No doubt, he will send interventions sometimes, most times, to come and solve you. Saying when you cry for help, you have blown your life, you have blown your money, and now you are being harassed everywhere. You cry for help, there's intervention. But a kingdom, a system does not work by intervention. It works by systems. It doesn't work by interventions. And so, what happens now is that when you know who you are and you are the Son of God, the thing that comes your way is this, is that you will constantly know that you can never be stranded. And God is bound to resource your identity. There are many fathers here. When you get a call from your son about something, you are bound to give to him, not because of his problem, but because he's your son. That's it. He's your son. And you don't want your son to suffer. So you are the king, you are the child of the king. When you know that identity that you have, your prayer will be, you will love to pray because you want to talk to a father that loves you. You love to pray. You know, people don't like praying. I tell people, we must become joyful intercessors. Joyful intercessors. One of the greatest delight, one of the greatest gift that God gave you is the ability, is the gift of prayer. Call to me. But we have converted prayer to different things. Know that there's prayer of declaration, there's prayer of inquiry. But in the final analysis, prayer should not stress you. But you must be disciplined to pray. Or else, it's not a default drive for you to pray. Your body needs enjoyment, so you cannot discipline. We're starting our fast tomorrow by 6 p.m. Sundown 6 p.m. 22nd to 29th. It just reminds me of somebody in my life group say, when we're doing 40 days, they say, I bear me as pastor. What do we do when you say this 40 days? What crime did we commit? You know, there are two things I don't like in this thing. All night and fasting. Some of you know you don't even like it. That's how you just fix it. The doctor say, I have ulcer. No. But these are the disciplines that are necessary. So join us. It's an encounter time of fasting. And just understand that it should be your normal default drive. Once in a while, even medical science say you should fast. So that you give your stomach rest every time. People rest. Allow the stomach to rest and refresh. Normally. But now we are fasting to connect with him. It's an encounter fast. You are fasting so that you will fast away from some activities too. All those activities that take your time. You know, as you just press one thing on your phone. That's why I tell people, stop using your phone to read Bible in church. Because one light will just show up. You say, let me quickly check it. That's how you are doing online. Before you know, you just, as you scroll up, something will just play, say, I will come back again. Before you know, you are gone. You see, I was in church service. No. And those distractions are there. Your phone is there. Social media is there. Different things that will take your, this thing, fast on those activities. Some of you, food is not a fast. Because naturally, you don't like food. Some of you, naturally, you eat by 1 p.m. So when they say fast on 6 to 12, although, sometimes when they say 6 to 12, that's why the hunger will start. But it's okay. As you hear fasting, hunger. And take your time. Whether it's 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., 6 p.m. to 12 noon, just discipline yourself. And if you are doing 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., just 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., don't think that, let me just quickly eat by 5. I will sleep, wake up by 6, I'll fast it. When you are fasting, you are praying, you are meditating. So if you are going to do 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., understand that 2 hours of that time of that sleep, 3 hours, is for praying and fasting and meditating. Or else you are in hunger strike. Amen. You see, there's the great commandment and the great commission. The great commandment is about the love of the Father, encountering the love of the Father and encountering the love of God. And so the great commandment must come before the great commission, or you are a human doing. Listen, look at something. The great commandment is about the encounter of the love of God. Then out of that encounter, you can love God. And you can love other people. You can love yourself. And if you do the great commission without the great commandment, which is raising disciples, what would happen is that you can't love people. People are now projects. You won't honor them. You are only looking for, I'm a sinner. Okay, say the sinner's prayer. That's all. But if you have an encounter of the love of God and the love of people, it's the love of God that will drive you to do the great commission. So that you don't become a human doing. You are a human being. And the great commandment must come before the great commission. And the great commandment is about your identity. That's why you must stay to have an encounter. In these 7 days, it's an encounter time. Encountering God, encountering your true identity, encountering what God is saying. I'd like to welcome our family house in Abuja. They are connected here today. Welcome to, I appreciate you. The great commandment is about your identity. The great commission now is about your assignment. Listen, brothers and sisters, wherever you, whatsoever you are doing, whether you are in the politics and governance, business and economy, media and everything, understand this: as long as you are a believer, where you make your living is a different ballgame. All of us have been called, commissioned to do the great commission. All of us. It's not the job of the pastor. No. And the great commission is not, we need to return to the biblical model of evangelism, which is not about decision alone, but about discipleship. It's about discipleship. Today, it seems as though the world they are doing a better job of raising disciples. So we have the issue of the HK. That's disciple. They even put them in house. Some of you are quiet now. Say, Pastor, don't go there. Who told you that when you give your life to Christ, me, myself, and I? No, you are not in the army of God. And you have a job to do. And how you are going to do it, God will not turn you to another person to make you a disciple. To make you a disciple, or even start discipling people. He won't turn you to her. There are people that can go and knock on doors. They are overt in their distance and say, I came to share the word of God with you. And because you don't have such personality, you think you are not involved. You are. So we have been commissioned to raise disciples, not converts. So when we come to church before, we say, who are your converts? No, who are your disciples? And Jesus gave us his model of discipleship in Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 9, he sent the 12 out. When they came back, three problems occurred. They were asking, they were now comparing, say, I'm the greatest. This one said, no, I'm the greatest. They start arguing. They came one time and said, no, there are some other people who are casting devil. They are not part of our team. Jesus stopped them. Denominationalism. The next time, two of them said, Jesus, give us power. We want to incinerate the village. This village, one could call down fire, sons of thunder, to wipe a whole city. Imagine, you gave them small power. I thought if I was Jesus, I would say no. There's no need to empower anybody again. Look at small thing I'm doing this thing. Jesus came in Luke chapter 10 and collected another 70 and gave them power again. The churches should be about empowering people, but working with them so that you have accountability. I like to empower people a lot. And when you empower people, you are going to have messes. if you want your house to be clean the way you left it when you went to work, don't have children. As you left, and you see it like that. But when you have one or two children running around, don't be ashamed. I come to people, they say, oh, you'll quickly be arranging. I say, I understand. If this house is very clean, then I know there are no children. You have toilet in your home because people are staying there. And they must create mess. If you want a clean stable, don't have horses there. But if you have horses, there are one or two messes to clean. Then the church must be messy. We must have that reality. But I like to empower people who have just given their life to Christ because they are more infectious. They have street credibility. They can easily organize party and people will come. But when you have tutored them for 3 years, they don't have unbeliever friends again. Some of you can understand that you don't have unbeliever friends again. And you are not making any deliberate effort to make friends for eternity. You say, I'm not going to lose my salvation. Salvation is very key. Heaven is a must for me. In the Old Testament, when a leper touches you, you are unclean. When Jesus appeared, he touches lepers, they become clean. Your holiness is more contagious than the darkness in the world. If you know who you are. So what is Jesus' model for evangelism? Because our goal is that when I come into this kingdom, I will do evangelism. And evangelism is not an event. It's a process. Listen, evangelism is not what you form. It's a byproduct of your worship and your connecting with him. If you love him, you will keep his commandment. And when you keep his commandment, you will look for people who will come in. We are family, no doubt, but we must make babies. And we must leave room for those babies to grow. And we must empower them even as they grow. How do you teach a child how to ride a bicycle? By putting the child in a class? By bringing the bicycle, putting the child on top and holding it. One way or the other, it will fall. That's how we are supposed to disciple. We're good at converts, but not good at disciple making. And that's why people complain that people go to church every day, but the society is the same. Why? No disciples. Now the question, ask the person seated next to you, are you a disciple of Jesus? Then ask the person, where are your disciples? You know why God will give you children? It's not to tell the other person that you see, I just married, I gave birth to children and this thing. No, it's for you to disciple them, raise them up so that God will pick them and plant them where he wants to put them. You see, during the pandemic, it showed the weakness of some of fathers. They didn't know how to teach their children Bible. Children's church was no longer operating. They started calling. Pastor, no program for children. Can I say something to you? It may look that I don't want. You see this gathering now? It's a tribal meeting. It's a tribe. It's like we're in a village and we come to the town hall. It's a tribal meeting. It's good to have it. Huh? But you don't raise children in a town hall. You don't raise disciples in a town hall. You bring them to the town hall for instructions. Children are raised in the home. Church service is good, but it doesn't raise disciples. Messages are good. I listen to them. I buy books every day. Sometimes, I buy books every week. They are good, but they cannot raise disciples. Conferences, Christian conferences, we have them thousands, millions every year. They are good, but doesn't raise disciples. Bible study tools, all those classes they put you, FDA, ASO, ASSROT, FKCCP, they are good, but they are all supplements. Who raised disciples? People raised disciples. People. Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He didn't say come to a Bible school. Follow me. Jesus went and picked 12 men. And his life and his life spoke to them. We need to have people who will raise disciples. We don't have... Today, we make babies and put them in orphanages. And they're supposed to be put in a home. They're supposed to be put in a home. They're supposed to meet a father and a mother. Listen, those days in some revival, when you give your life to Christ, they will bring some people and say, choose your father and your mother here. These are the ones that you will call when you are having problems. Do you know that there are some mothers and fathers we are still following? 20 years in the faith, they say, you don't tell when I'm born again. Say, no. You were born again 1 year. That experience, you repeated it 20 times. And the question I should ask, who are you discipling? Who will look at your life and say, I want to be like you? In terms of, you are using your lifestyle to preach, to teach. They are looking at the way you are doing family. They are looking at the way you are handling your finances. You are handling your children. You are doing everything. You are coming to their homes. You are eating with them. You are doing that. Jesus gave us the strategy on how to do evangelism. And we are going to look at it today. Because I need people to raise disciples. As a husband, your first disciple is your wife. Because you truly become a father. You know what I want in this our house? More fathers than children. More fathers than children. More mothers than children. So that we are looking for children. The reason why the church is not having this expansion, this multiplication, and we're just swapping and swapping and swapping, and we are looking for the next entertainment, the next big thing to actually go, because you know what? We've become babies. We are converted and we stayed like that. Oh, this choir did not sing well. You sing now. They didn't preach well. I want to raise learners who will self-feed themselves. Imagine my son now telling me, I came home, I said I didn't eat. Why? I say because you didn't feed me. Yeah, I said, today church not tough. The church has become fame. Am I saying the service should be boring? No, that's not what I'm saying. But all these are supplements. We need fathers who will engage and sit with you like this. That is how Jesus discipled people, not in a class. The Greek method used the classroom system to teach. That's why it has not really worked in the church where we put people in FDA, we put them in ASSROT and everything, which is good. But have we raised disciples? In the class, everybody form the dress up, they come. But they won't tell you their issues. The FDA will not bring out whether you have the same sex attraction. But when I come and meet you and I trust you, I'll be able to pour my heart because you have shown me love. The first thing Jesus said when he was in Luke chapter 10, he said, pray. I need us to be intentional about praying for those who God is highlighting. Do we pray for God? Lord, give me the burden for evangelism. He said, pray. He said, go. He said, pray. He said, the laborer, the harvest is plenty. In Luke chapter 2, 10 verse 2, he said, then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And know when you are praying this, you are praying for yourself first. As a lecturer, show me. Show me the people in my class that I need to disciple. Put a burden for me. Put a burden in my heart. There are many lecturers here. You see many lecturers in the world, doctors, you see more unbelievers than me. Well, you know what we do? We even place a curse on them because of their behavior, which is fruit. Yesterday, one of my students is in one of the security outfits, was with me till about past 11 in the evening, just telling me about, and I was just listening. He was in church this morning. He has not been to church for 2 years. And I listened to him. I began to talk. Shared with me two things I taught him. This was 2003, 2004, 2005 session was when I taught as a lecturer. So this is what you taught me. This is what I use today. Say one day you came to class, said, I made all the grades, and I had all the grades, A to F. I said, but I still made a 2-1. I said, that thing stuck with me. All these are just basic things. This morning he was in church. As at that time, I'm supposed to be sleeping. Have I prayed for me, for God to bring people my way? Why did God put you in that position? Why did God give you that, highlighted you? You know, let me tell you, it may shock you, and it's shocking to me, that today believers pursue money more than unbelievers. And let me tell you something. In the pursuit of money, there's no end. There's no end. Once you add 1 billion, you say, 2 billion, not far. And once you, the reason why God said you should chase after him is because in the chasing after God, there is no end. As you chase after him, this is what happens. When you're about to get him, he will change. It makes the pursuit to be. Just as when you want to grab money, money will move further. And the chase. And I want you to look at, who am I praying for? Who are my list that I'm deliberately praying for? But I can, if you show me your prayer point today, Monday. And you're wondering why you are depressed. Young girls, let me tell you. Do you know that the person you are married, that will marry you, is not yet born again now? It may be. How? My own life. When I met my wife, I had 2 girlfriends. That Valentine that I did in, I bought 3 gifts. The guy that God has back is in a, is cooling off with shine bubble now. I'm telling you, so when I'm saying this thing, the wife you are supposed to be married to is in the arms of another man now. Because I've said about, because I'm coming for you. He said, hey, there are no girls to marry. Pray. Lord, bring me my way to somebody I can share my faith with. Does it not shock you that we don't our radar does not talk about unbeliever again? Number two, it didn't say pray, it said go. Today we say come. I said go. Where are the byways he wants you to go? Some of you already, you have gone. But you think it's for your own benefit. Three of the pastors here were my students. So if I didn't bring one disciple, how would Derek be married? Two of my daughters were married by my students. Can I tell you more? One came one time and said, I just feel God told me that I should come to this church to marry. My student. In my mind, I said, I knew you for school now. You are not serious. In my mind, I didn't tell him. But you know what my own life is? Is that I was not a regular person like that. So I always give people grace. Because God showed me grace. And people will say, why do you trust people? Because God trusted me. A man believed in me. So some people you feel that they're, this one. Nothing. You don't. I've seen my former students giving me this thing. And pay my hotel bill. And the one that came yesterday said, when you just come to my state, you're on me. You know why? As a lecturer, I will tell you, you can't fail my course if you do three things. He reminded me yesterday, say, one day you said we're going to do tests. I said, bring all the book you can. Open it. And I gave them the test. All of them, I know that if you are doing pre, you can't even answer all the question. You are looking for where the answer is going. Time is going. And in accounting, it's not answer all. Attempt all question. People can be, and people, I saw people pass by themselves. They think I'm the one that passed them. No. But you must understand you need to go. Go and make disciples. Go to your family. Go to your oikos, your sphere of influence. You have their language. You have the lingo. Don't harass them and beat them with the gospel. Just be around them. Be present. Go. I can share some things that I do that I, because I get to the golf course. I prayed for somebody there to be healed. I prayed for somebody there. You say, pastor. Some people say, bishop. I don't even know. I was playing one person. Before he knew, he was calling me pastor. But I could never introduce myself as a pastor. What's your name, Pensina Higwe? Because I know if I just say pastor, you just shut up. You now start forming as if you are holy. No, you are not. But I want to be around people. I saw the life of Jesus. He went into Zacchaeus' home. He went into Simeon's home, who was a leper. He went to the byways. You know what? They told him that he was a shaka. He's a shakis man. He said, the only thing you have this thing. And the next thing he said, when you get there, as you go, pray over the home. Bless them. Proclaim peace. Say shalom. Shalom. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. When you say shalom, you know what you are doing? You are displacing chaos. You are releasing. Just like Noah released the bird. What is the symbol of United Nations for peace? It's a dove with the olive branch in his mouth. Same thing. Where did they get it from? The Bible. As you release shalom and release peace, you are shifting atmospheres. So when you shake somebody's hand, you say, peace be unto you. Shalom. How are you doing? It may look very harmless. Let me tell you, there's no weak prayer. That sometimes you are praying, you are sleeping. It's not weak. There's no prayer that is weak. Every prayer is powerful. So proclaim peace. Don't harass people and say, hey, look. No. Just release peace. It says, house of Ogun worshippers, release peace. Your peace is more powerful than what was there. You look at somebody at home. It may not be somebody's side. Maybe your office. Shalom, how are you doing? It may be the girl, you know, many believers, we are very judgmental. We even be gossiping them in this. So all the men, don't follow them. He has slept with all the men in this office. Any person that is doing that is shouting, help me, I'm dying. Can't you see I'm dying? Can you really be friends to that person? Do you know, I don't even know why my wife decided to marry me. I was even afraid for my say, will I no man come and spoil this girl's life now? You see, Jesus saw the potential in Zacchaeus. That I just healed a blind man who doesn't have money. And somebody here is holding the money of this city. He said, half of my money I will give. He said, if I have duped anybody, I repay four times. Is that not financial revival? It would have been like all the other ones. He would join them and keep malice. No. And as you release peace, what will happen? You will now fellowship with them. You serve them. You fellowship with them. Stay there. He said, serve them. In Luke chapter 10, verse 7 and 9, he said, remain in the same house, eating and drinking. Such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wage. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as said before you, and heal the sick there. And said to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Serve them. I remember hearing a testimony in a church in Northern California. They said, somebody was testifying that a couple was having a marital problem. So he went to settle them. And now the gay couple, they are in church. Gay people are having quarrel. Same-sex marriage. You as a believer, you now went there and settled them. Is it not for you to look at their God and say, I thank God, my Lord. Thank you, my Lord. All these wicked people. He went to settle them because quarrel was an entry point. One thing I want you to know in life, if you get it in this your head, evangelism is it. Everybody on the face of the earth, they were created by God, they are his children. Some do not know him because their eyes have been blinded by the God of this world. Your assignment is to open their eyes. If you have that at the back of your you won't castigate people. Serve them. Imagine you are passing a place where people, where prostitutes are gathered, they want to start work, they hold hands and they are doing praise and worship. It happens in this town. The young gathered, say, let's praise God. Lord, help us today as we are doing our work. Lord, don't let bad people come near us. They will now even do, we are saying thank you, Jesus. Thank you, man. They are going to do evil. We are saying thank you, Jesus. That one is that they have acknowledged God. You can join them. We are saying thank you, Jesus. You cannot be their pastor. See, every time I'll come and be praying for you people. But you know what we'll do? On this, we are saying thank you, Jesus, people. Useless people. They are the ones that are stealing people's husband. They will die in their sin. I lay curse on them. They are confused. That's why they are doing that. Serve them. You can even say, do people need water? And as you are going, Lord, shalom. Bless them with the peace of the Lord. Calm their storm. You'll be shocked that one day, as you are passing, one will say, sister, come. Every time you pass here, they feel peace. That's the son of peace. I remember, I don't want to mention the joint. Some of us prayer walked the place. That joint is closed now. And we didn't say they would die. We just say shalom. Another business has come. Serve them. Can you serve a prostitute? Say, I'm going to work. Hold my children. Fellowship with them. As they come from work, say, I'm sure you are hungry. I cook rice. Say, pastor, I won't join anybody to do evil. I didn't say you are doing evil. Imagine, have you ever thought how Jesus enters Zacchaeus' house? That's the ultimate corruption. In the Bible, they say sinners and tax collectors. Tax collectors are special type of sinners that you don't group with general sinners. It's not a GS course. They are elite sinners. That's who Jesus stopped on the way in Sycamore and say, I'm coming to your house. Imagine if I, as I'm going, I see an elite sinner. And I'm the one that say, can I come and have dinner in your house? What will you say in social media? Especially is the guy that has Igbe. Is the chief Igbe. My wife, when she was in Siloko, she went to minister to a juju man. When the wife gave birth, he brought the child to dedication in church. When my wife was in school, she was doing a medical course that she did. I don't know. One day I was asked, who told you you should be medical? She was in that school for 1 year. It was a native daughter that was paying for her food. If God can talk to donkey, is he a native doctor? Some of us, we think that people are too dark. They can't receive gospel. He said, you are preaching to him. He's a Muslim, he cannot yell. You know, one of the people I like in terms of evangelism is Jehovah's Witness. They'll come to your house 2 years. He said, when are you free? He said, 12 o'clock. Say, okay. 11:55. They are there. They won't even say, want to share the gospel with you. They will not ask you a question. What do you think is life after death? They are not tired. If you say you are washing clothes, they say they will wait. You see, the way we have been taught evangelism, that's why you are not doing it. It's a normal course of life. Evangelism is a byproduct of your worship with God. It's a byproduct. My students were my worship, were my evangelism. Those days, many of us, my students, were in church. I even discipled them to their mother's house, to their father's house. I will call, sorry, he has to repeat. I'm sorry, sir. He said, please come and talk to my parents. I can't talk to them. So, let's get to that. You proclaim shalom. Then, you'll now get to the last one. The kingdom of God has come near you. When you proclaim shalom and you are serving them and everything, after they will call you, what is making your life tick? Why do you have peace? That is only when you can now tell your story. Don't go and cram Bible. The reason why you don't do evangelism is that you are cram Bible. So they say you should say John 3:16. As you have declared John 3:16, you can't even explain it. Because you are not a professional preacher. That's why you now say, I used to be like this. Sometimes when I counsel people, I tell them the story about my marriage. I tell them the story how I countered God. It's my story. It's my own gospel. You have gospel according to John. There must be gospel according to Ben. I'll share my story. I'll share my conversion experience. I will share how I came to the Lord. You know, nobody invited me to church. No. Nobody came to invite me to Fame Foundation. I just decided I want to be serious with the Lord, because I went to see my friends who they were doing 419 that time. On Sunday morning, they were very serious going to church. Say, where's my Bible? I say, come on. I'm more righteous than these people now. But on Sunday morning, I will be sleeping. One of them today is a pastor. Because I'm going to show you that theory in it. Some of the guests that you are laughing at this thing, they have repented. Life is working for them. Because God is a merciful God. Share your story. Don't cram Bible. The reason why you can't share your faith is because you don't have story. And because they did not tell you that it's your story. When Jesus saw the woman in the well, he said, give me water. Bring a story that is common to them. I used to have issues in my marriage. Come with an encouraging word. And don't try to say, do you believe in Jesus? Or you say this prayer after me. In John 8:31, he said, he deceived them, the kingdom of God has come. Say your story, kingdom of God. Do you know you can disciple people? You can disciple people before they embrace the truth. By serving those person that goes to night walk, as they come, you give them food. You're serving, you are discipling. Anytime they have problem, they come and meet you. They are your disciple. Don't tell them, say, today, you are my disciple. Yeah? Nobody wants to be subjected. But the person you serve the person and it goes there. You serve. You can disciple. In John 8:31, look at the theory of it. It said, Jesus told the people who had faith in him, not in God. There are people that will believe in you before they believe God. He said, if you keep obeying what I have said, because they will start obeying what you are saying to them, you are truly my disciple. Then look at what he said. You will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Because what I'm saying is not of my own. But you can only see me. But you know what you want to do? We want them to know the truth first, that we set them free, then before we now disciple them. That's not Jesus' strategy. This week I want to release you. Please don't take people as project. Love them. Look for people to pray for this week. Look for somebody to love. Don't beat people with the gospel. Every person that is doing bad, no. Did they tell you that? They know. For somebody to stand up at night, take a gun and go and rob somebody, something's working in him. I don't want to share some things. We are truly the answer to the word, or the light of the word. Now, is it easy to do evangelism now? Huh? You know why I like this evangelism style, Jesus? There's food. There is no national or no person that doesn't like food. Food is a central point. No one I was wondering, Jesus, why are you eating anyhow? Believers eat. Unbelievers eat. If I tell some people now I'm coming to your house, can we just entertain people quickly? You say, what can we? I remember one day we did one live group. One of our live group person, if you see what he do, it has been 2 a.m. he was up. One type of meat. My brother. One day I will bring the picture to you. And I want to share an experience we used to plant Siloko Church. The church at Siloko. Although we didn't go through it like that, I thought I would show the picture. We're on the street. I was on the football field for 3 Sundays. Just fellowshipping with them, play with. I was wondering, how can on Sunday morning people, boys, will be on the field? And the last day we cooked food. We packed food to them. And I just started sharing stories. That's how the church in Siloko was planted. But the problem now is that we didn't leave them in family. We took them to the tribe. And most of them are not used to. They're used to interaction. I remember our man of peace was called Jeff Juju. Don't worry, boy. He said, Pastor, don't worry. Just was our man of peace. The juju really has many juju, many issues. But it was our man of peace. It was fun going that way. We've learned. I want people to get serious with life group. Get serious about unbelievers. Some people are going to spend eternity without God. And they are your friends. In eternity, you will regret and say, well, there's no point for regret. As I round off today, in eternity, what you could not do where, you can do it there. You can do the relationship. You can do there's no marriage. You will be joyful. There will be peace. Relational issues, there will not be relation. You can do relationship well. There's only one thing you cannot do in eternity: evangelism. Disciple making, you can't do it there. Rise up on your feet. Father, we thank you for today. What do we pray about this morning? Before we pray, I want to create this invitation. You are here, you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Or you are watching us by any of our channels. You want to make Jesus the Lord of your life. All I want you to do, if you are here, lift up your right hand wherever you are and we'll pray. We'll pray. Or you want to recommit your life. You want to rededicate your life to Him. I'll pray with you right now. Lift up your right hand wherever you are. Okay. And if you are on the, if you are online, just write and say, I want you. I want to recommit my life. I want to rededicate my life. I want to give my life to him. There are people online right now. People we love, we trust them. They will get to you. At the close of the service, if you want to pray, they have prophetic words for you online and even on site here. Just get connected. And so, Father, I thank you for my brother, my sister, who is giving his life to Christ, dedicating their life. Lord, I pray for more, that they will connect with you. In Jesus' name. All I want you to do is to just lay your hand. Say, Lord, I repent today of being conscious of my own problem. Today, I commit myself to be a disciple maker. And so, Lord, every other thing that is in me that is stopping the process, I need your help. I need your help. Help me to truly represent you to the world. Thank you, Father, for this. In Jesus' name. I want you to lift up your voice and say, Lord, show me the persons I will minister to this week. Show me the people I will serve, people I will pray for this week. The ones that will spend eternity without you. Give me a burden for evangelism. Come on, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Give me a burden for prayer. According to Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. Release the spirit of supplication and intercession on me. Come on, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. To be a disciple maker, they are human, they are people. They are people. You need to love them, and it's difficult to love people. But God will help you. Thank you, Father. Help us. As a family, as a church, Lord, let us know your commission that we are supposed to cure desert places in people's lives and bring them into the kingdom. Help us to do this. Help us to be not focused on our problems, but of the problems that is tugging your heart, God. You need more souls and souls into the kingdom so that the blood of Jesus will not be in vain. Help us to open your eyes in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. To get a copy of this message and other life-transforming messages, please visit our shop at www.ffi.ng/shop or call 0706-969-6499. God bless you.